God be in our ears and in our hearing. God be in our heads and in our understanding. Amen. We don't meet shepherds very often these days, do we? If you were at a party and you were enjoying a drink and you asked someone you'd not met before what they did, and they said they were a shepherd, you might be a bit surprised, especially in central London, sheep not being very thick on the ground in zones 1 and 2, apart, of course, from Shaun the sheep, who seems to be everywhere at the moment. But in Jesus' time, of course, shepherds were much more common because sheep were really important. Palestine would have had loads of sheep, providing people with wool to make clothes from, milk to drink and make wonderful cheese from, and mutton, the meat, from grown-up sheep. So the people who looked after the sheep made sure they were safe from predators like wolves, made sure they didn't do the stupid things that sheep are rather bound to do, get stuck in hedges or fall into crevices. These people were really important, and it was important that they did their job well. Some did, and some didn't. From what Jesus says, it sounds as if some of the casual workers, the hired hands, as he calls them, were more likely to be bad shepherds because they didn't care for the sheep, because they weren't theirs. They weren't both their property and their livelihood. If you owned sheep, and some of them were killed by wolves, it was your income, your ability to survive, that suffered. So you took care of them. Once upon a time, many years ago now, I met someone who had been in his youth a shepherd. He was a farmer. He was the church warden of a little village church in North Lincolnshire where I used to play the organ for a 3 p.m. evensong when I was in the sixth form. Old George, as we all called him, to distinguish him from young George, the other church warden who must have been in his 60s, old George was nearer 80. Old George had been a shepherd in a nearby village when he was a boy, and he was one of those old-fashioned farmers who was full of country wisdom. The animals on his mixed farm were always referred to as the beasts, and he and his wife knew every one of their animals. Some of them even had names, and he knew every inch of his land. And he and his wife loved their animals and their land, and they cared for it like parents. Whenever I read the parts of the Bible where Jesus talks about shepherds, I always think of old George, gentle, strong when he needed to be, wise but not in any way showy about his wisdom, unsentimental as farmers have to be, but loving. And the good shepherd will do anything for his sheep. Now, I'm not sure how much old George would have actually put his own life at risk for the sake of one of his beasts, but I bet he'd at the very least have been prepared to endure some pain in order to make sure that an animal was rescued. He cared for each individual animal at least that much. He knew them. He'd probably known their parents. He might even still own their parents. He knew which ones were most likely to do silly sheep-like things and which were the placid ones. And that's how we're known to God. The God who loves us and knows us better than we know ourselves. But Jesus says something else very interesting in this passage from John's Gospel. I have other sheep who do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. What he's saying, I think, is this. God cares as much about the people outside this building than he does about those of us who are in it. What he wants everyone to do is to follow the example he gave us in Jesus, to love one another as he loved us, to be prepared to make sacrifices for the sake of others, to care as much about other people as we do about ourselves. And isn't that actually a definition of love? Today, there are lots of people in London putting themselves through agonies in order to raise money for important things. They're running 26 miles. It's the London Marathon. There are spectacular examples of self-sacrifice involved, hours of lonely training, huge amounts of self-discipline, and all to raise money for a hospice or a cancer charity or a support group for people disadvantaged in some way. Love in action. Many of those people wouldn't think they were in any way doing something religious, something holy, by running 26 miles and raising money for charity. But I'm not sure, you know, that God really notices the difference. Ro and I have sponsored two people who are running the marathon today. One of them is somebody I know through church work, who works for a Baptist church in North Westminster and is raising money for something that that church does. The other is a colleague of Ro's from the Royal Opera House, and she is raising money for a charity she really believes in and supports in East London. She is not a churchgoer at all. Does God really see a difference? Care for someone in need, and you're doing God's work, even if that's not how you might define it yourself. But Jesus says that one day all will listen to his voice and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Maybe what we're being asked to do is to bring all of these good works together, work together for the common good, acknowledging the truth of the God who is love. However we think of it, there's work to be done. Over the last couple of years here at St. Peter's, we've done an awful lot of looking inwards, worrying about ourselves as a community, how we're led, our relationship with our particular shepherd, how we go about doing churchy things. This coming week, a new chapter of the St. Peter's story begins as Ralph is collated and inducted as our 12th vicar. My prayer is that as we get to know each other, Ralph and his family and us, we're all drawn together by the message of today's gospel. We're all individuals with our own skills and quirks and loves and hates and ways of looking at the world. But as a flock, as a congregation, as church, we have one shepherd who draws us to himself, who calls us on, saying, as Jesus said to Peter in the gospel we read last week, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Out there is a world crying out for the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, crying out to know that they are not alone, that they are loved by the source of all love. How do we tell them? How do we bring them into Christ's fold? Answering those questions is what we need to be about now. If you hear some good news about something, the first thing you want to do is share it. Tell others about your good news. Tell your partner about something that's happened at work today. Your children tell you about something good that happened at school today. You want to share. So when it comes to the good news, the gospel, because of course that's what it actually means, aren't we actually depriving people if we don't tell them? Now there's a thought. Amen.